Welcome, Rookie Investor Podcast. This week, we are talking about Battle of Two Giants, Netflix versus Disney. Gareth, straight off the top, which one do you reckon sounds better?
Netflix, it has to be.
Netflix?
We're talking about streaming here.
Marvel films.
Exactly. No. But the thing about it is, Disney is kiddies programs, kiddies, you know.
Iron Man
Netflix
is a kiddie.
Is bloody... No, it is a little bit, let's be honest. I'm not a massive fan. Netflix is Stranger Things, and can I
never
just say,
watched it.
Oh, it's amazing. Can I just say, I've seen an awesome movie. If anybody knows this movie, I think it's like an 80s or 90s movie called The Cube, and it's about six people that arrive into this cube, and basically they have to try and find their way out, and they have to go through all these rooms, and it's booby-trapped. It's absolutely amazing.
And that's on Netflix.
That's Netflix.
Okay.
And you see, that's the thing at the moment that Netflix, I love about it. It's synonymous with Netflix and chill, with sitting at home, with just having an incredible variety.
That's not what Netflix and chill really means.
What?
Carry on.
What? Does it mean something else?
What? I don't know. I'm too young. I don't understand.
Whereas for me, Disney is more reflective of Fantasia and obviously the original sort of cartoons, but now sort of Disney Pixar. It's a slightly different model. I don't know. What do you think? What one do you prefer? If someone says you can watch Disney Plus or Netflix now, what would you do?
Well, I don't know too much of the content on there. It's hard for an Australian audience because we got different stuff. Like we have a streaming thing in here called Stan, and that's where we get all our Disney stuff on that. And that's kind of $10 a month.
Yeah.
And then we've got Netflix, which is $16 as well. But, Disney's also acquired Fox, which has got a massive catalogue of films. And I think that was a very clever acquisition because, yes. It really changes up that content and that perception away from,
For me, I think what's happened is, and it is interesting, Netflix have gone with original content. Were we looking at, wasn't there an ad for like content creator, 30 million a year or something for Netflix?
Head of content.
Head of content
Netflix.
For Netflix is 30 million a year. Now, if anybody wants a job, there's a fucking job. But for me, Netflix, what they've concentrated on, and I suspect it was a needs must scenario because Netflix came out of, obviously there was the love film sort of thing, but it came out of a situation where they weren't able to JV with other people because they just didn't have the resources.
Yeah.
So they had to create their own content. That was their USP. And they've continued to do it. And actually, it's a little bit hit and miss. If anyone's seen the Tall Girl, I think is generally regarded as going to be just a massive stinker. It's horrendous, but that's a Netflix original. But then they do things like Stranger Things, or I think Travelers, maybe. So lots of ones that have been very successful. So they've done that, whereas Disney, as you pointed out, have obviously their original catalogue, but they've also got all the Star Wars stuff. I believe they bought all the rights to The Simpsons, which is massive.
Yeah.
And they've got all of their own cartoons. So they're looking at expanding. They've got the power and ability to do that. But of course, what they're not producing is that original content. And I suppose that's, for me, is like the big difference. And maybe it's a generational thing. You know, I want original content. I want to be able to go to work and chat about some new series that's out and it's crazy or whatever. Disney at the moment doesn't have that. But anyway, let's wind it back slightly. So obviously what we're talking about is who's going to come out on top. And we're interested in the stock price.
Yeah.
So let's pull out Phil. Phil's live on his computer.
On a computer?
On the computer. Pull out the stock price just to see where they're both trading at the moment.
All right, let's have a look at Netflix.
Burr, 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 burr.
It's loading. Netflix is currently $267.62.
Wow. Okay.
It has been hammered.
Been hammered?
$267. It's gone down almost 30% this year.
Shit.
30% decrease.
What's going on there?
Year?
That's because of competition, isn't it? Or it's more than that, is it? Or
they peaked at 371, but
wow.
It didn't have a big issue, the Disney streaming thing. They kind of stayed steady, but they just missed their recent quarter of subscriber numbers.
Okay.
Which really, I think that really hurt them. They didn't grow as quickly as they thought, which, Wall Street doesn't particularly like. What it means for the business in general is something different, but the share market reflects differently. So
okay, it's
kind of gone down 30% this year. That's its current price.
Okay, so that's still pretty meaty. That's still, there's a lot of value. The market cap on Netflix is pretty significant.
$117 billion.
Yeah.
So decent sized company. And we go over to Disney, and that's interesting. It just comes up as Walt Disney still when you search it, which is interesting.
So Disney Plus is part of, I assume, part of Walt Disney. They haven't separated it off as a separate company.
It's just part of the Disney. $234 billion is the market cap for Disney. So it's about, it's almost exactly twice, actually. Yeah.
That's not as much as you'd think. I mean, you think Disney's been around since, what, the 30s, 20s, 30s?
Yeah. Well, it really took off. Walt Disney started, I think, like 1915. Disney really took off in the Depression. And that's why it's popular, because a lot of people still wanted some kind of enjoyment.
Yeah.
So they'd go to the cinemas and they'd watch this crazy mouse get around.
Yeah, interesting. No, that's good. Okay. So,
Stock price.
Oh, yeah.
We have got Disney at $130.
Oh.
Isn't that fascinating? Double the market cap, half the share price.
Half the share price.
Not that it means a lot, but...
No, but there could be an, there could be an opportunity in there, which we should look at that and do that as part of the Edge and just see what that comes out
of. It will be an October's Edge. I've had a request to do Disney.
Brilliant. Yeah, so if you're listening, thank you if you ever put that in. That's a really hot one, because you could find the price to earnings ratio.
And just on that, if you're not familiar, we have a stock investing newsletter. I pick 5 hot stocks every month. Analyze them ridiculously. I come up with a value, a fair market value. You've heard that term if you followed Warren Buffett. And that's at cheekyinvestor.com/cheekyedge. Now, back to Disney. It's gone up 12% in the year.
Okay, so it's fairly consistent.
Not sort of huge.
Not massive. Okay. Well, let's just look then at the now. So Disney Plus is launching in November the 12th, 2019. So what they're basically going to be relying on is having, as I said, a huge number of titles. So they'll offer about 7,000 titles, although that's roughly about a fifth of what Netflix has in terms of titles.
Is it really? Wow.
Yeah, it's significantly less. But what they have managed to get is some of the most popular TV shows and series. So they have, we talked about The Simpsons, they've got all the Disney stuff, all the Pixar stuff, which I've got kids, that's hugely valuable. Because just as an aside, Netflix is showing less and less. Things like Frozen has gone now, and Moana has gone. They were originally on Netflix, but Disney is obviously pulling those because they want them to be shown on their channel. So it's got all those sort of big ones. It's got the Star Wars. They've bought the rights to the Simpsons. So they've got real heavy hitters, I suppose, in terms of TV and movie series. The other interesting thing is, price wise, their Disney Plus is actually coming in relatively cheap. It's coming in at $7 US dollars per month.
It's interesting.
Which is very cheap. So they're obviously wanting to undercut Netflix and try and take as many of those people. Now, Netflix, on the other side, they have significantly more volume, but what they don't necessarily have is those big named franchises and movies and things like that. You mentioned the Marvel series. None of that is on Netflix. And Netflix is very much about its own content, and they've really pushed that, and they've produced some excellent content and some not great content as well. But just to say as well, they did buy, I believe they bought the rights to The Office as a bit of a nostalgia thing.
No, they lost that.
Oh, did they lose that? Oh, I thought they had that.
They had it originally. I've just got it here now. Two big ones they lost is Friends.
They lost Friends as well.
Yeah, they spent, I think, $100 million on Friends, but that's going. Also in the top 10 were Friends, rolling off Netflix for Warner Media. So Warner Brothers is doing another one.
Yeah.
And The Office is leaving for NBC's service they're doing in 2021.
Wow. Okay. So that's a big hit for Netflix then, I have to say.
Yeah, those two were massive.
Huge. Yeah. They are, I think it's Friends is still one of the most watched shows. I think was it on Netflix?
I've got a chart here. Top 20 shows on Netflix.
Here we go.
Orange is the New Black. Massive.
Oh, yeah. That's, we used to watch that up until about the third series.
It's 8%. I assume that number's 8% of audience, but Orange is the New Black, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And then it just goes into movies as a third one, so that's categorized them all together.
Oh, okay.
So that's shows, yeah. And then Ozark,
no.
Grace and Frankie, Black Mirror.
Yeah, Black Mirror's
awesome. Yeah, they've got The Office, Friends, in that top 10. So, yeah, okay. Yeah,
that's
interesting.
That's a big loss to them. The other thing, price-wise, sorry, I was just going to say, Netflix is getting more expensive. So I think their starting price in US, I think it's about 13 Australian dollars, and it's about $9 US. But that only allows you to watch it on a single screen. It's quite restrictive in terms of your viewing. I don't know if Stan does that, but with Netflix, you're only able to watch it on a single screen.
Yeah.
So if someone else tries to go on and play it even on the phone, you're not allowed to.
That's cool.
So it's quite restrictive. So then you have to jump up to what is it, 13 US dollars? So it's about 7-16 or something like that. To be able to actually watch it. So there is a price difference as well. And I suppose, you know, Disney has the clout to be able to price theirs very low because, of course, and also they're not creating content as of yet.
True.
And this is the thing, is it's great for them. They can pull out back catalogs.
Well, actually, they are creating content because that's part of their big business to start with, is content creation.
Well, it is, but it's the bigger picture, sorry, but they're not solely doing it for this service. Sorry, so you're right. I mean, that there are...
It's kind of a vertical integration.
Yes, absolutely. So they can go, oh, well, we're already spending the money and we'll make the money back on what we're making in the movies.
Yeah.
And then this service will then rehash that stuff and will make more money. So it's a great model for them. Hence why they probably will continue to charge less than Netflix. Because they don't have that pressure to spend that money. That's huge.
Netflix have to spend, like, they've got a movie coming out, I think Martin Scorsese is directing.
The Irishman.
And I think it's going to cost them about 200 mil.
Yep.
Whereas Disney would get that cheaper because they're almost a wholesaler.
Yeah.
If they've got they own everything, the studio on that.
That's right.
That'd be cheaper. So that's interesting.
Massively cheaper. And I think in the long run, that's a real benefit for Disney because Disney can say, okay, we want to set up a division that does quirky movies. We want to compete directly with Netflix. We want to go for their real original content stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can do that, but because they've got their whole machine of marketing and everything, they can make its money back and more out in the real world. And then they can take that and put that in. So into their streaming service.
Yeah.
So in the long run, they're in a much better position, whereas Netflix is having to, as you say, spend a huge amount of money. And The Irishman looks like an awesome movie, by the way.
So
to me that's a big difference. Now the only thing I suppose is a question I'd have, and I don't know how you I know you were saying about Marvel and you know, not being for kids. I do personally think a lot of the Disney stuff is more for a younger generation. Mm. Now, not necessarily the people paying the bills. So the question is, do mum and dad pay the $9 a month to get Disney on top of a service like Netflix that they might enjoy? And is that going to be an issue for Disney?
Well, the question is, do they still do it when the economy is bad? Because yes, you do it now when things are going all right.
Mm.
It's only when when things get tight and you've got to cut back on the entertainment.
Yep.
But even then, is it that unaffordable for people to have Netflix? Going off Australian prices, I think it's about $15 a month.
Something like that,
And Disney's what, 10?
Be about 10? 10, be, what was it? Yeah, it'd be, yeah, about 10.
Anyway, under 30 bucks a month for both those. Is that enough of a pain point? And this is what I liked about Netflix, and I've offloaded my Netflix stocks recently, but I liked it because I think even in bad economic times, you know, $30 a month, you've still got to have entertainment. As I said, that's how Disney grew. People still want to be entertained and want
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
For $7.50 a week, it's a hard thing to unsubscribe from.
It is.
Which is, I think, yeah.
I'd agree it is, but my view is Netflix appeals to a wider audience because it's far more eclectic. Disney appeals to the blockbuster generation, which is definitely kids, and it's also people that love blockbusters. It's not just kids. But so for me, if I had a choice and I've got kids, I'd say we're going to keep Disney if I had to choose, between Netflix or Disney Plus, I'd say keep Disney because I know it keeps the kids entertained and ultimately... Mm. Like, they watch it more than I would. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that's probably an important thing they've looked at is they'll be hitting the families that, you know, will want this sort of stuff so that they can put on and keep their kids busy. Yeah. Netflix doesn't offer that, those blockbusters.
Yeah, okay.
So it's weird. Like, Netflix has everything else.
Yeah, except that.
Except that, that sort of area, I think, personally. I'm not, I mean, there's other areas as well in there, but I think that's a massive market.
Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, having kids, like, anything that keeps them really quiet, man, oh, my God, like, that's goldust. You know what I mean? So, like, when it's, like, you know, it's Saturday and you're knackered after doing all your sports or whatever in the morning, and you come back home and they're like, oh, I want to watch a movie. Awesome, you know, great. You go on a Disney, you put on Moana, you put on Frozen or whatever, you know what I mean? And it's great and it's easy. So to me, that's a really, I think that would be quite a powerful sales point for people, for families, more than anything else. Whereas Netflix is definitely more of like a parents type thing, do you know what I mean?
Okay, that's a good distinction. But looking at this data, people love the new, like Orange is New Black and Stranger Things dominated the viewing.
And I've got in Netflix, isn't it?
That's in Netflix.
So that's their own content.
And Murder Mystery with Adam Sandler and Jennifer.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Have you seen Anderson. It?
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be good.
It's a typical Adam Sandler film. Like, it's a cheap laugh, and it was entertaining for a Sunday night. People get on there and bag it. I'm like,
oh no,
it's not designed to be an Oscar performance. It's good value.
I'm with you. Okay, that's good.
But 31 million people watch that in the first 3 days of it going out.
Wow, because they've signed a deal with Adam Sandler to put up movies. He's done a couple already. He's done two, I think this is the second.
It's a good signing.
Yeah,
because he was getting to that point in his career where he couldn't. It weren't really worth them releasing to cinemas because they wouldn't buy it.
Right,
so
yeah.
Netflix probably saved him almost.
But do you not think something like The Irishman is a bit of a watershed? Because it's a really genuine big movie blockbuster, but it's in Netflix with a limited movie release. Like, is this the changing of how things are going
to
work?
It is, and just trying to find what the stats were. So Netflix cleaned up at the 2019 Oscars.
Oh yeah.
They got several nominations. I remember them doing something around qualifying for more. There's some kind of criteria, I think, about them getting nominated, but I think this is their big play to get an Oscar.
Yes.
And
that would legitimize them for sure. They'd become mainstream then, yeah. But it's just, to me, The Irishman represents the future. You know, it's big money spent on these sort of blockbuster events. And it's what Disney Plus do now. What Disney does, sorry, and what Disney Plus will show.
Yeah.
It's, you know, lots of money spent on a couple of big blockbusters with not much else going on. And I think, you know, I suppose I do hope Netflix continues to produce quite diverse content as it does now. But I suspect, you know, if something like The Irishman is successful, they will go on then and look at that as a model, as a way to sort of grow their business more.
I just had a look at The Irishman, pulled it up.
Yeah.
Runtime, 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Amazing. Classic Scorsese. Classic Scorsese. He did the same with Gangs of New York. Do you remember Gangs of New York? And you're like, fucking die. Finish up. It's like, I need to go home.
Cameron Diaz, doesn't it?
Who? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
As a
you can watch that for 3.5 minutes.
Unfortunately, you see a bit of Navel, but then I don't know what happens to her. But yeah, but just, you just look at the cast list tonight. It's unbelievable.
It's interesting, because you couldn't do that in a cinema. You couldn't do 3.5 hours in a cinema.
Correct.
Good point. When you're at home...
Good point.
Pause, bathroom break.
Absolutely. Reconvene. Good point. Oh, I'll watch it tomorrow. I'll finish it tomorrow. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Scorsese is going to go wild. He's going to go 5 hours.
The ultimate raconteur. So, anyway, guiding it back on to Netflix versus Disney Plus. So, we've sort of talked about where they are in terms of stock price as of now.
Yeah.
We've talked about sort of where their pluses and minuses are. I suppose the next logical question is where they're going in the future. So where are Netflix heading? Where are Disney Plus heading? Where do we think is one going to go massively above the other? Is, you know, is, well, Netflix already has the market or whatever, but are we going to see a change in the streaming service market?
Yeah, I think with this stuff, it usually comes back to two. So a product will come out, there'll be a market leader, a whole heap of businesses will see how successful that is.
Yep.
Everyone will get super competitive, and then it'll come down to two main players. I mean, you see with airlines, a good example. I think juice bars, when they came up, like early 2000, there was juice everywhere. Now it's kind of Boost Juice and Top Juice, I think.
Yeah.
So there's a general rule in this stuff that only two survive. And you're probably looking at Netflix and Disney. I mean, Amazon Prime's there. What's the other one? Warner Media with AT&T. NBC are doing their stuff. So I think they'll both do quite well. It'll probably be like a Coke and Pepsi type of thing, to be honest. They'll both be quite successful. I think Netflix has the edge in that they seem to be more global. Because like I said, in Australia, there's no signs of a Disney Plus thing coming here. Because they've signed a deal with Stan. I don't know how long that's for.
They've signed, yeah, Foxtel has the Netflix button.
Yeah, so they've just done a partnership.
They've done a partnership.
Yeah.
And that
Foxtel's pay TV in Australia. If
for anyone who's not from Australia, so okay. Yes, I definitely think there's two. So at the minute, there's probably a handful of global players, and then maybe a couple more within individual companies that are doing the same thing. My sense is Disney are the ones that have the power and the backing to actually go on and become a market leader. I certainly think Netflix will be there, but you know, let's not forget Love Film and Netflix were competing together, and Love Film's disappeared, and it's Netflix has taken over when it was a DVD service. Yeah. So my sense is I think Disney are coming in with a huge amount of clout, and what Disney also have is an ability to JV with people, with very large businesses.
That's true.
In a way that I think even though Netflix are beginning to do it, I don't think Netflix has that same power. And of course, Disney has a back catalogue to beat all back catalogues. Netflix is building that very quickly, but also they're hitting duds. Now, what happens if they get a run of films that don't do well? They could be in trouble because they're spending a lot of money on doing it. So my sort of sense of where things are going is I think you'll find Disney Plus is going to actually become market leaders. There is going to be those two main players around and maybe a couple of other smaller ones. But I do think Disney Plus has the power and the sort of resourcing to ensure that it actually beats Netflix. And I think Netflix's model, but it'll become a slightly more, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a non-mainstream. Specialized. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Because they do a lot of specialist movies, and that, you know, there's the Indian market, there's the Asian market, Chinese market, there's the Russian market. There's all these markets that Disney Plus probably isn't as interested in, but I could see Netflix becoming a slightly offbeat sort of streaming service and Disney Plus becoming a blockbuster service.
All right, let's look at some of the hardcore numbers. Who has more cash? Who do you think's got more cash?
Okay, Disney.
You'd assume Disney would.
Yep.
Disney's got $6.7 billion sitting around. Lazy 6.7.
That's not much compared to bloody Apple.
Let's not compare everyone to Apple.
Yeah, of course we do. The world revolves around Steve Jobs.
That's, 5 billion Netflix. That's not too far.
That's pretty close, actually.
Let's look at their debt, because I know Netflix has got a lot of debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 12 billion in debt.
Okay.
And Disney There's a pause because I'm trying to read this, and I think it says $58 billion in debt.
What? Disney?
Yeah.
Wow.
$6 billion cash, $58 billion in debt. The debt's gone up from, in the last 12 months, $20 to $58 billion. All right, Phil's going to have a bit more of a research. So the biggest thing with both companies is interest rates low at the moment. So they've got cash
flow.
They're
okay. Yes, they've got money
that covers the interest payments. Wow.
Maybe I have to revise my judgment then.
Yeah,
is this the last call from Disney then? Is this Disney struggling trying to?
Yeah, is this all or nothing?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that needs a bit more. Yeah.
What would I say the debt was? 58.
58.
How did they fund the purchase of Fox? It'd be the question.
Yeah.
Did they go into debt for that?
Well, perhaps that is through debt. It must have been, if that's the case.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't have afforded through their own cash reserves because they're not that big, but relatively. It must have been through that. Maybe that's what's done it. So maybe they've taken on Fox. And so, wow, that's quite significant, actually. But then again, Disney is a multi-conglomerate organization. Netflix is a streaming service. So, you know, Disney's size and scale is probably Disneyland, it's a major player, whereas Netflix is streaming only.
Streaming only, yeah.
So you wouldn't expect that money to be the same.
Yeah. And then going to go to the analyst that I've got here. We'll predict future stock price. So we'll start with Netflix. Based on this software, fair value comes in at $3.34. They reckon they're at a 20% discount.
Yeah, right.
Which is based on future cash flows and growth, which I'll just check. They reckon growth is going to come in at 38%.
Wow.
In the next 12 months. And Disney's stock price is, they say it's fair value now. They say $130 is about right. Disney's growth is 6.3%.
Okay.
Interesting. So they're, yeah. I don't know if that's forecasting Disney Plus or if $7 a month is really irrelevant to what Disney are doing.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm wondering. Is it because Disney's so big?
Yeah.
That 6% actually in real terms is a huge amount of growth for a company of that size. Whereas for Netflix, they're a much smaller company.
To grow that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
It's interesting. Look, that's sort of opened my eyes. I started with saying Disney might go on and smash it, but they've taken on a lot of debt. So if things do turn a bit sour, they may struggle. But no, I still do think their back catalogue is sufficient enough for them to gain a very big audience very quickly. And like I said, I know they've been pulling their movies and their shows from other services, unless they've obviously got to deal with them. So you'll find if you're on Netflix now, you can't get really any of the major Disney movies, whereas you used to be able to get them.
Yeah.
So that I think is a big thing, actually, particularly for people in Australia. You can watch stuff through Stan, I think that would help them significantly in growing their business.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Because you think Disney straight up because of their size, but
it just shows the power of becoming a master of a single subject, as opposed, so what Netflix have done is they've mastered that particular the streaming game, and so they're able to really concentrate everything in there,
Disney have ESPN Plus,
okay,
which is another $5 a month.
Yep. So they'll be selling all these other packages with their stuff as well.
Yeah. So they do like the old pay TV model.
Yep.
You have your basic and then you have
the sports and whatever else. Yeah.
That ESPN's interesting. $5 a month.
That's good. I'd pay that.
It's got your dad's covered.
Yep.
Sorry to generalize, but probably some mums in there as well.
Yep.
And the kids covered.
Yeah.
And it's $12.
For $12, which is still still cheaper than buying a Netflix with the two screens. It's still $13 for that. So
But then the other thing is ESPN. Yeah, that's a business in its own right. But that competes with a whole heap of other apps that do sporting streaming. But
it does, but it's still a big player.
Awesome. And
if they're tagging it, absolutely, exactly. They tag it on. They offer a month free of ESPN with, bang, done. You're going to be taking a lot of people on board. So it's a beautiful little upsell, yeah.
Yeah, fascinating.
Interesting. Well, look, hopefully you've learned something from that. We're still slightly unsure, but it certainly the stats tell one picture, which is actually, interestingly in this case, quite different to what you assume. You'd assume Disney would be able to run away with it, but actually it's not like that anymore. So hopefully you've got some value in looking at both of those stocks. As Phil says, we're going to be releasing every month the Cheeky Edge newsletter, which has in it some personal stock picks, huge amount of analysis in there. It's a free report.
The Cheeky Edge.
The Cheeky Edge.
No, Cheeky Edge is $25 a month.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Cheeky Edge is $25 a month. And we've got some big companies like Disney's going to get reviewed this month. Afterpay, which I know a lot of you guys are very interested in. We've analysed that's a company in Australia. We've done Apple, Boral. We've gone through some of the hot stocks.
Major ones. And there's really valuable information there because it helps you decide if you want to invest or not.
And we do requests as well. Like, I'm always open for ideas for people if they want to know the details about that. So that's cheekyinvestor.com/cheekyedge.
Yep, absolutely. Sign up. It's $25 a month. It was originally free, but it's $25 a month, which, quite frankly, is nothing.
It's like really 80 cents a day.
80 cents a day when, you could be looking at I think it's about $500 worth of analysis or something like that Phil puts into it because he's got all the tools and these programs that cost a lot of money. So basically, we're doing it all for you. You do is just wait for your inbox to come in. You get a selection of stocks. huge amount of analysis, and it helps you. It's so well informed. I'd highly recommend even just signing up for a month just to check it out. And trust me, you'll end up wanting to stay on it because it's so good. So thank you all for listening. We'll make sure to check you next time. And of course, don't forget to check out our Facebook page. Huge amount of chat content, things going on there. We're on Instagram as well, both Cheeky Investor and cheekyinvestor.com. So thanks for listening, and we shall speak to you next time. Thanks.